this bolt of lightning shot across the universe and inspired me with the idea that we have to do a podcast. And that's what I wanted to tell you. We should do a podcast. Okay, bye.
Yes, I hit record.
I hit record.
Okay, we're crushing it now. Alrighty.
Back on track. I mean, we were never not on track. We're always on track.
Right. So I'm Ned, and this is Meg.
On track.
Welcome to our podcast, Feature Creep, :
Built-in microwave, :
Dairy Girls. We're going to talk about Dairy Girls today.
TV show called, is it TV or is it like internet?
TV. Okay. I mean, it was, good question.
Here's an interesting question, right?
Yeah.
Is it a television show if it was made for Netflix and it's a series?
Well, I'm just looking to see. So it was originally released on Channel 4 in the UK.
So it is TV. It's just across the pond TV.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is not unlike our TV.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a show, and we're going to talk about it in a second. just some front matter. If this is your first podcast of ours, welcome. You can email us, or really you can email Dana. Dana is the CEO and founder of this podcast, and she would love to hear from you. And you can email her at dana@fcbm.io. You can also just go to fcbm.io and find our contact information. That's it, I guess. Like, welcome to the podcast. Here we go. So Dairy Girls, I recently had the pleasure of finally watching this. It had been recommended to me over the last couple years from various sources. I had
no idea it existed until you told me about it. And then you told me and told me and told me. And so then one day I sat down and I watched it, and toward like the back end of season one, I had to watch it at like 1.25 speed because I was running out of time.
Right, right. Yeah. So,
but you made a compelling case for it. And so I was like, I have to watch this.
And it was worth it, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's cute. I think like, yes, I like it. I watched the whole season start to finish without a break. Like, I never left the stool in front of the computer. I was here the whole time.
Now, I remember you were like pretty sucked into it once I got
I basically
you.
Was live tweeting you the entire time.
Which is on par for a lot of our sort of viewing stuff when we recommend stuff. Usually we're like, let's just watch it together. Ice Pirates. Yeah.
Totally. So I thought it was really cute. I don't know. So I don't know what I was expecting, right? Like, it didn't let me down in any way because I had no expectations.
Yeah.
It's very cute. Like, it's a very cute show. I don't know what else to say about it. It sounds like I'm being patronizing, and I don't mean to be.
It was, I think when I'd first read about it, I can't remember, I'd read something about it and it was like recommended if you like this other thing. And I was like, I looked it up and I was like, this sounds dumb. It's like some high school girls basically. Like, I was just like, I don't know. And then I think I watched a clip from it, or not like a clip, maybe like a trailer or something. And I was like, I don't know how this is going to appeal to me. Right. Like, it's these young women who are like growing up, going to school, and, you know, dealing with.
And they're like young teenagers too. Like, they haven't had serious relationships. They're still figuring out who they are. Like,
yeah. And they're kind of dealing with like living in Northern Ireland in the 90s, during the final years of the Troubles, which we'll get into. But I didn't understand any of that when it was recommended to me. So I was just like, this is an Irish teen girl drama, like not really getting the bigger picture. Not that necessarily inherently doesn't appeal to me. It was just kind of like, it's like, I don't know that this
it was
is
omitted.
Like, yeah. But I was like, I'd read one more recommendation. I was like, man, this just gets such good reviews. So I gave the first episode a try and I was like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing. and so to tell you, if you've just never heard of the show, I'll just kind of go through the sort of gist of it. So according to Wikipedia, as of October 22nd, 2024, its genre is considered teen sitcom, which is, again, why I was like, I don't know, this isn't really my demographic.
Yeah, I was like really surprised when you recommended it, because I also thought that is not your demographic.
Yeah, but also black comedy.
Yes.
So it was created and written by this woman, Lisa McGee. Fucking amazing genius, directed by Michael Lennox. I think they did a really good job. There's a lot of like iconic kind of shot styles and sort of direction in this show that even if you're just interested in film and videography and things like that, like there's a lot here to watch. It's very like stylistic in certain ways. And there's, anyway, it's very good storytelling as well. So there's some, there are sort of five main characters. And I'm just going to read off their names really quick. Source A, Monica Jackson, Louisa Harland, Nicola Coughlin. So Nicola Coughlin is also known for her role in Bridgerton. So if you also watch that, you may recognize her. Jamie Lee O'Donnell and Dylan Lyolin. My Irish last name, or my Irish name pronunciation is terrible, and I apologize. anyway, there's a total of 19 episodes in three seasons or series, as they refer to it. And the episodes are typically 22 to 45 minutes long. I think most of them are 22, and there's like maybe one or two outstanding 45 minute long ones. And it was basically released from 4th of January 2018 through 18th of May 2022. So on Channel 4 in the UK.
Cool.
So, so the interesting thing about this show is that it's set up, it's sort of sitcom-y sort of situation, is that there are these four, young women who are like girls, like they're teens, who are living in Northern Ireland, going to a what we would consider a private school, but like basically
It's like a Catholic school.
It's like a Catholic school. I think in England, in the UK, right, in Ireland, I think that the names of schools, public and private and things like that, are a little bit different.
Yes.
In terms of what they mean. But Catholic school. So all girls Catholic school. And one of the very first things that happens is the introduction of the fifth member of the group, who is played by Dylan. And his character is like the cousin of one of the girls, and ends up having to go to the all girls school. And so he's like the one guy in the whole school. Anyway, it's very funny.
And everybody keeps they keep outwardly expressing their belief that he's gay. And he's like, I'm not gay. Yes. And he keeps saying it over and over again, but no one will listen to him.
Yeah. There's also a really funny segment or section where we learned that basically there are no bathrooms that are available to him.
Right.
Which is its own kind of like leads to its own problems.
All girls school. So,
yeah. So, I don't want to talk too much about like a lot of the plot stuff, but I do want to emphasize that one thing I thought was really well done is that during all of these funny sort of sitcom things. So like often the main stories revolve around or focus on very sort of mundane problems of teen girls, right? Or teens, really. It's not super gender specific. Like
it's kind of like rites of passage, like life experiences that are common to all people growing
up. Exactly. And like usually there's some drama going on both, and the way there's sort of this counterpoint of like drama going on with the friend group, like the girls and their cousin. And then also drama going on with the parents that's like, you know, sort of counterpointing or setting, like each episode kind of has its own thing. And so you have the parents, I think in many ways are like these gems of characters that are being developed and there is a nun who is the most like sarcastic, snide remark making, like hilarious character who just has amazing input on all these situations, like all the time. Absolutely, like despises most of the shit going on with the Catholic Church and just wants to be left alone to fucking like get on with running the school.
Yep.
And
like, she rolls her eyes at the priest.
Yes.
The same way that like nurses roll their eyes at doctors.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just fucking great. It's just really like it's, I think this is one of the shows that I've actually rewatched like episodes like almost right away. Just to kind of like,
really, you know,
there were a few like, especially in like season two and season three, where I was like, oh my God, that was so good. Like I'd either like back up and watch a scene again, or like after I got to the end, I was like, I need to watch that one more time.
Like, see, can you remember an example? I didn't find any of them like that compelling. I think you found it more compelling than I did.
That's possible. I think in season two, there's more, so the Troubles was a historical event going on in Ireland. And it's going on in the backdrop. So like one of the things that always caught my attention about this show, like once I started getting into it, the thing that kept catching my attention, I was like, I had really no idea, is like there's these military personnel like that they're interacting with, like going through checkpoints and stuff all the time. And in the show, yeah, they're just like completely ignoring them, or it's like a momentary issue that they're kind of like trying to bypass and not really thinking that hard about, nor are they talking about it, but there'll be like news shit going, like newscasts on the TV that the parents are watching or something, that will talk about a bombing that's,
sure,
or like a bombing that's planned, they're going to blow up a bridge, and then, you know, they're not going to blow, like then, you know, the other army, like there's the IRA and then the I can't remember the other people, but basically, the Troubles is a conflict in Northern Ireland that lasted about 30 years from the late 1960s to 1998.
It was an ethno-nationalist conflict.
Yes. Yeah.
And evidently.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I'm trying to figure out who it was. Belligerents, state security forces, British Armed Forces, Royal Ulster Constabulary, Irish Defense Forces, Gardaí. Against Irish Republican paramilitaries, Provisional IRA, Irish National Liberation Army, Official IRA, Continuity IRA, Real IRA, Irish People's Liberation Organization, IPLO, and Ulster Loyalist Paramilitaries, Ulster Defense Association, Ulster Volunteer Force, Red Hand Commando. That one wins the points for the best name for sure.
Right. Yes.
Ulster Resistance and Loyalist Volunteer Force and Ulster Protestant Volunteers. That's who was involved. That's a lot of factions and stakeholders and allies or enemies.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So there's this is like going on in the background, and this was like, there were all kinds of fucked up tactics that were happening, where they were building like walls to segregate populations and like creating these like military checkpoints, and it's all like happening in this like urban rural like countryside, where, you know, there are these towns and villages that are like segregated from each other by these like military checkpoints, and just all kinds of crazy shit going down. So that's all going on in the background. And so I can't remember which one it was. It probably was like in season two or season three, when I was like kind of fully vested, where I was just like glued to the TV, like can't wait to see like what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, the first season was very charming. That's what I want to say. It's a very charming show, and it's very relatable. And there are certain things about it that I really, really loved that I'll like mention later. But I think like season one did a lot of establishing.
Yes.
So it was kind of like, I imagine that season one is in some ways more tedious than two or three, because there's so much like set up happening.
Right. Yeah.
I really love the like the friend and the one whose cousin comes to the school with her.
Yes.
Because she's like the white trash fast tail friend.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
The one who's like already drinking and partying by the time she's like 15 or whatever, and like dragging everyone along with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's great. She's my favorite. But yeah, the Troubles. Sorry.
Oh, it's just that's going on in the background, and it's both like like illuminating in terms of like they like historically represented in like these events are happening while the girls are going through their like daily lives. And mm-hmm. so you get to kind of learn about that with the backdrop or as a backdrop to these like comical situations. And
yes.
I think that there are like as a body of work, like the entire collection, I find much funnier than the IT Crowd, for instance. Which I find like one of my very favorite episodes in television is in the IT Crowd. But like these just like,
yeah,
these just kind of seem to explore that like absurdity like over and over again in a way that really tickles me. Right. Like it's just sort of like, so there's like one episode where the girls basically figure out or there's a test that they have to take. I think this is the one actually I rewrote or rewatched. It's the one where so episode 3 of series 1, so you've seen this one.
Yep.
I think I rewatched this one because it's just so fucking funny. is basically the plot is that the girls basically I think they have to take an exam and
yes.
they stayed up all night studying for the exam.
Yes.
Except they didn't really get shit done. And like one of them drank like way too many caffeine drinks.
Yeah.
Like way too many. And
super
it's just
way too
fucking
many.
Wired as fuck and like full of anxiety. And at some point I can't remember. Somehow they end up at the church at school before they're like going to class. And then they like,
yes.
they basically make this claim that they saw a miracle because the church, the angel or the Virgin Mary statue was weeping. And
right.
so they make this claim such that they don't have to do the exam. And it's just this like calamity of errors. Like as it builds, like there's this point where they see a dog that they thought was put, they'd been told their dog was put down. And then they see a dog that looks very similar, which is
like,
how they ended up in the
dog.
Church, right? Because they chased
right.
the dog.
They chased
the
dog into the church.
And I'm not going to give away all the plot points, but like the dog's involved. At some point, the priest is the priest is now convinced that the dog might be a ghost or like some kind of like spirit reanimated or something
yes,
as part of this whole miracle situation.
And the priest is involved with like the church
yeah.
for reasons that are like incredibly subjective and yes. specific to him.
Yes.
And so he's kind of got this like inner monologue that gets spoken out loud by accident from time to time
yes.
where he's like questioning his own faith and he's
yes.
on this crusade, no
yes.
pun intended, to like determine once and for all if God is actually real.
Right, right. For
and
himself.
So,
like
for himself, yes.
Yeah.
He just has to know. He has to know. He has to know so bad that he ended up a priest in the church.
Yes, yes.
And like that's the priest that the nun who runs the school rolls her eyes at because he's just kind of
yeah.
like I don't know, he's kind of a flake.
Yeah. No, he's you know. Like he's too beautiful, so he's kind of like dumb and beautiful like as his character.
Yes.
Like
oh yes, he's I forgot to mention this like detail. His appearance, like everybody's smitten with him except
yeah.
the nun who's like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah. And so it's like it's really dumb. He's this like kind of, you know, self-important, too beautiful to fucking talk to kind of like character who's just like totally lacks self-awareness on any level whatsoever. And then the nun is just rolling her eyes the whole time. She's rolling her eyes at the kids. Like she doesn't believe them. She knows they're fucking lying. Like she's not an idiot.
Yeah.
And she knows why, like she knows why they're trying to get out of this exam. Anyway. It's hilarious because there are these moments of tension where it's like they're going to dig up the dog to see if the
yes.
like, and then they're worried like they're like, oh, we're just going to find this dead corpse and then everything's going to like, you know, be like basically the idea is like somehow digging up the dog and if the dog's in the box and dead, then it's proof that it wasn't a miracle. Like the dog, it was
yeah,
just
yeah.
some other dog. Like it's just fucking hilarious. And like this, that episode like builds towards the end where it just all falls apart in like really comical ways, which reminds me of some of my favorite episodes of the IT Crowd, like the one
yes.
where they go to the, I think they go to the musical or whatever, and at
yes,
some point,
that's like, my favorite one.
Yeah, it's so good. And like you know, like Moss is like working in the fucking bar at the end, and like yes. What's his name? Chris O'Dowd. I can't remember his character.
Yeah.
What's his character's name?
I can't.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, Chris O'Dowd's like in the bathroom and like pretends to be disabled because he pulls the emergency line too much, and he was sneaking
Roy
and he'd snuck into the disabled bathroom
yes
against like, and he didn't want to get caught, so he just lays on the floor like he can't walk, and like at the end it's like God. It's like their boss who's like out, like Jen, who's like the yeah. most like unqualified boss, is like standing mm-hmm. there, and like Roy like shows up in a wheelchair, and she turns around and Moss is serving drinks, and she's just like, what the fuck just happened? Like, it's just anyway,
it's an excellent episode.
Yeah, excellent episode. But this is that same
loved
vibe.
The like, IT I related to the IT crowd more than to
sure.
the Dairy Girls.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I think I like when I lived in England, and obviously my favorite joke to say to an Irishman as an American is like, oh yeah, no, I've been to England. That's basically the same as Ireland. I say that knowing full well about the troubles and what a dick thing that is to say. And I definitely try to use context and not just say that like blatant. Like, it's usually, I try to say it to people who I think maybe have a sense of humor. I don't know. Maybe it's not that funny. You guys write to me and tell me this is a terrible joke and I should never say it. Anyway,
right.
When I lived in England, Derry, the shots of Derry really reminded me of the town that I lived in, Exeter, like in terms of like architecture, like the buildings are built much the same way, like these really close yeah. row houses everywhere. Yep. Like everything's just kind of connected through these like really old stone structures that were there before, and like new buildings are on top of old buildings. And I don't know, it just kind of it just had a certain nostalgia to me, for me, probably.
Yeah,
well.
It did for me too, because I spent time in junior high and high school on multiple occasions going over and staying with people in England, and going to France. And so not so much London or Paris, for example, and right. not so much France, but in Britain for sure. I stayed in a town called Irby, which was like this 500 person little dinky town, and it was next to it's in the county of Lancashire, and it was by a place where some famous witches lived. Anyway, very fucking neat, but it totally reminded me seeing the town in Dairy Girls reminded me of that town. And I remember telling you that at one end of this little town that you could walk across in no more than 5 minutes, yeah. There was a pizza place, and the pizza place only served pizzas that had been predetermined. So you couldn't show up and be like, I want a pepperoni, mushroom, onion, spinach pizza. Right. They'd be like, no, you got to order off this menu. And they were all like pre-selected ingredients that were like thematically related, right?
Right.
And so it was like the pizza that was closest to what we would have ordered if we could have ordered anything we wanted was the Pizza Garibaldi, which has just stuck with me as like the most unappetizing name for a pizza. Pizza yeah. Garibaldi, what is that even named after?
Right. What does that even mean?
It's just like somebody's last
like
name
fish?
In Italian. I don't know. Is Garibaldi a fish?
It is.
Oh, there was no fish on this pizza. That's for sure.
Yeah, Garibaldi is an orange fish that you can see very easily here in San Diego.
That is fucking crazy. Why did they name it that?
I don't know. I mean, there are lots of Garibaldi is a, you know, there's a place called Garibaldi in Brazil. There's mountains in Canada. There's
so it's either an orange fish in San Diego, a mountain in Canada,
Italian surname, you know, which
Italian
is probably the obvious one, right?
Yeah,
but also, Giuseppe Garibaldi from 1807 to 1882 was a revolutionary and father of modern Italy. So, you know,
that must be it.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think, or it's just like somebody named a pizza after their cat, Garibaldi or something.
Yeah. So apparently I'm reading the Garibaldi fish Wikipedia entry for the very first time in my life, having grown
amazing.
Up with these fish.
Amazing.
They are, they're really beautiful, strikingly bright, large orange fish. They're like, maybe a foot in length, 15 inches in length. They can get as big as 15 inches in length. Probably the ones that I have seen are about a foot long.
And they're in the ocean?
They're in the ocean. Yeah, we can go see them next time you come and it's warm. So next spring, we'll go.
Oh, I have seen these fish before.
Yeah.
They're damselfish.
Well, they're not. Right? So they're kind, commonly known as the Garibaldi damsel.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. No, it is. Okay, it is in the damselfish. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm a liar. They are.
Ah, yeah. They are really cool looking.
Yep. It's the largest member of the damselfish family, apparently.
Well, my pizza did not reflect a fish.
No, it was not bright.
That would have made me like it better.
Right. They're so crazy bright orange. They're really interesting to spot and see. And they really stand out in the sort of California like kelp beds, right? Because like everything's that sort of brown green background.
Yes.
Yeah.
I bet. And like the rays of light shining on them is probably beautiful.
Oh, so the English name Garibaldi is based on an Italian surname and is a reference to the Italian general and political figure Giuseppe Garibaldi.
That's got to be what it is. That's got to be what it is.
At least
as far as the pizza place is concerned.
Yeah, and his followers often wore a characteristic scarlet or red shirt.
Interesting.
Which is funny because the fish are not red or scarlet, they're fucking orange, but whatever.
Right.
Cool.
but we digress.
Yeah, I mean they are bright orange. Like this isn't like a flame orange where you're kind of like, I can see the red. It's fucking
like,
I mean
it's like a child's drawing of a goldfish orange.
Yeah.
Like, bright fucking orange.
I guess if you were colorblind, this might be.
Put this fish on your head when you go hunting so no one shoots you in the head.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very fucking bright.
Yep.
So I did have a little bit of nostalgia too. One of the things it made me think about, which I might have mentioned to you too while I was like live blogging the experience, was that the people that I stayed with in England had a coal burning fireplace in their living room, and that is what heated their house. And there was a man who showed up with a giant sack of coal on his back, like Santa Claus, and set it down in their yard and shoveled some into a little shed that looked like an outhouse, but instead of being for poop, it was for coal. And then they would shovel some of the coal into a bucket and haul the bucket into the house and set it next to the fireplace, and then they would add coal to the fireplace. Like it's the 1800s or something, and we're on a steam locomotive shoveling coal. It was crazy. It was so crazy. I was completely unprepared for that. And everybody had skeleton keys to open their door, like very simple giant keys that opened their front door to their house, like when you lock the door.
Yep.
Very unusual. And flocked wallpaper everywhere. I feel like the wallpaper in Dairy Girls is like totally lives up to my memory of it.
Yes. Yeah.
And in their house, there's like a weird alcove that's just a room with doors on all sides. And that's where their telephone is.
So one of the this actually this segues really well into the thing that I'd forgotten about until you just said this. Remember when we first talked about this, you were like, when is this set? And we had that whole discussion about how.
The
insides of the houses, the outside, like everything, it feels subtle. Like for me, it felt subtle because it was like when I was living there in 99, it looked just like that, right?
Yeah. And I was there from like 93 to 97.
Yeah. And when I was back there in 2013, it still kind of looked just like that, which is why when I first watched it, I was like, this could be set in the 90s or the 2020s. Like, yes. I wouldn't be surprised because so much is like the houses have just been there forever. And so there are people living there who are like, I don't need a cell phone. I just have a fucking wall phone. Like, it's good.
Right.
I'm good. My life is good. I don't need to get any of this modern shit. So like, it's not until like two or three episodes in that I started to get that I was like, oh, this is a period piece. Like it's set in a time period and they're paying attention to and trying to keep it that way. Like the cars are older and things like that. But also I'm like, as someone who drives a car that the newest car I own is from 2000, I don't like, it's not, I'm like, that's not a big deal. Sure. Why wouldn't? Yeah. Like, why aren't there all these old cars on the road? Like, they still run. What's the problem here?
Right.
anyway, so it took me a while to catch on that it was like, And then you start to look at it and you're like, man, the fucking, the details. My favorite though is like when they're, when what's her name is like telling her mom or dad, like, wireless phones, it's the future.
Yes. Oh, is it the aunt that says that?
I think so. Yeah, it's the aunt. Yes.
There's the aunt is maybe like one of my favorites. Like you said, yes. The adults are kind of these hidden gems and you get these little snippets of what they're like because mostly yep. It's focused on the children. And then when the children happen to be around the adults, you get some of the adult stuff too, right?
Exactly.
But yep. And there's the dad and the mom of the main character, Aaron. And they have a baby, apparently. But like within the first season, they never explain whose baby is this. Because right. Aaron is like 14 or 15 or something, and this baby's like a baby.
Yes.
Like not even like blah, 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 blah. Just not like non-responsive, like a nugget. And so I was like, whose fucking child is this? And then there's like the Aunt Sarah, who's always, it's her name Sarah, right?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's around all the time. And then the granddad, because the like mom died, and Sarah and the mom in the show, Aaron's mom, are sisters, and they're taking care of their elderly father because their mother died and they still haven't gotten over it, and their dad is trying to date people and they hate it, which is hilarious because they act like petulant children. And I love how much they age Aaron's mother.
Yes.
Because, like, you get this impression, like, you look at Sarah and then you look at Aaron's mom and they're supposed to be sisters and you're like, they can't be more than a couple of years apart, right?
Right.
And Sarah still looks like she's trying to, like, maintain a sense of youth, even though she's, like, an adult and has her own kid. But then there's, like, the mom who looks like she's 85.
Right.
Yes. Like, she maybe just had an infant, but she's, like, the way she dresses and does her hair and wears glasses and always has an apron on and stuff, she looks like an old grandmother making cookies at all times.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think this led to another, like, thing that we were talking about right before we started recording this, which was I commented on, like, shadows of our former selves.
Yes.
And I mentioned it in the context of it perhaps being a title for a podcast episode because I was at Costco over the weekend. Never go to Costco on a weekend. It was a mistake. But I went and I got dropped off at the front door while Damon and our neighbor Conrad went to the Home Depot next door because all the big box stores are next to each other. And while they were in there, I was in Costco and I was surrounded at all times by a sea of barely conscious adults who were hauling their kids around in oversized shopping carts and looked like shadows of their former selves. Like you can see them and you think at one time these people were fun. They lived, they did things. And now they go to Costco on the weekend with their children.
Right. Yes.
And they look like that.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the parent of the mother, oh, Aaron's sure. mother.
Yes.
Because she looks so like it's part of the gag, the sight gag, right? Is like they make her look so old and you're like, I think that woman's like 32. You
know? Right. Like, yes. Yeah.
Like I bet she had her first kid when she was like 20.
Right.
And she's maybe 34 and she looks like she's 85 because of how she styles herself. Anyway, I just thought that was like really funny and jumped out at me. I think the dad is kind of like the most beneficent character in the entire show.
Yes.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's very sweet and like gets a hard time from Aaron's grandfather all of the time, who's her maternal grandfather. And
yes. Who's just a fucking dick to him the whole time.
He's such a dick. And I don't know. Their whole family dynamic is really cute. Like it's very charming and adorable not at all cloying. Like it's very, very adorable.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's cute. I'm excited to watch the second and the third season. Does more stuff about the IRA kind of like come in?
Yeah. So, this is why I asked if you'd watch the ending. 'Cause the ending actually, I think it's worth it. I think that the nun really, really gets a lot of good lines in the second and third season. And the ending is basically in the background. The end of the Troubles happens. It's 1998. Oh. And so they vote on the, what's it called? I'm going to look it up right now so we can get this right. 'Cause this is interesting.
Yeah.
So
you look at the Good Friday Agreement.
Yes.
So, yeah, like this, this wiki page, because that's where we're looking it up, says sometimes described as an asymmetric or irregular war or a low intensity conflict, the Troubles were a political and nationalistic struggle fueled by historic events with strong ethnic and sectarian dimensions. And it was over the status of Northern Ireland, which like came back up again during Brexit, right?
Yeah. Yep.
God, it's a merry-go-round. Time is a wheel.
Indeed.
So, yeah, like a bunch of, like I said earlier, there were all these state security forces, Irish Republican paramilitaries and Ulster Loyalist paramilitaries. So there were like three sort of like these groups of people were triangulated with each other. Right. Is that? Yep. Am I understanding that?
Yeah.
And like Northern Ireland Civil Rights Association wanted to end discrimination against Catholic nationalist minorities by the Protestant Unionist government and local authorities, and the government suppressed protests, and the police, who were Protestant, like were known for police brutality, and like they got into serious conflicts that ended up becoming riots in 1969. And like the British troops showed up, so the army was there, and then they built walls to keep communities apart, and like they were all separated, and it's nuts, and it went on and on. And I think it seems to me like there were bombings and stuff, and I remember this happening, and I remember the first time I went to England and went to London, something was happening and they were worried about the subway. And it was in like 1993.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that was related. I did not make the connection at the time. But looking back, obviously, that's clearly what it was, because they were concerned about terrorism in the subways. And so, yeah, the deal went on and on until the Good Friday Agreement in 1998, which was the year I graduated high school and the last year up until recently that I was overseas in England, actually.
Oh, interesting.
So basically, like the whole time I was going over there, that stuff was happening, but like it didn't really affect any of the stuff that I was doing.
It's kind of interesting. In Ireland. I had moved there, I think, shortly after that, the Good Friday Agreement. Mm-hmm. I think I was there at the end of 1998.
Okay.
But
we were probably both there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is really funny. Well, anyway, so I won't spoil the ending. It's not a spoiler to say that that's going on. And the sort of final episode really kind of discusses that. Like, it's basically, I think that's kind of in the end why I kept really watching, was just the development that was going on in the background. And it's just so fucking great to watch, because it's the writing is so good. Like all the lines and shit people are saying is just really funny. And I don't know. As time went on, it started to feel much more relatable to me, because I was like, this is just fucking bullshit family dynamics that like a lot of people can probably relate to. And that part was just fucking great. I was like, just like the level of dysfunction and like self-sabotaging that fucking happens. And like,
yes.
Anyway. So from my point of view, really, really good in that regard.
It's kind of over the top because it's a sitcom, but at the same time, nothing that like happens necessarily.
Yeah, there's
makes
nothing.
Me think it's out of the realm of possibility, right?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah, there's never a moment where I was like, "Oh, that would never happen." I mean, there's certainly times where it's like, "Well, that's contrived," but it doesn't. It's not so overwhelming that you're like, "Oh God, like forget it. This is just nonsense. Yeah. Like I can't watch this." But
I think like. The Catholic school is pretty spot on.
Yeah.
There's like a really high strung sort of like overachiever at the school who is in the choir and sings and dances in like a glee club and like organizes a talent show and like all these things.
Yeah.
And they kind of nailed the archetypes of.
Oh, yeah.
The characters. And the other thing that I thought that they did exceptionally well, that I just was like, oh my God, this episode is going to be so hard to watch and it's going to be so perfect, was where they're supposed to go on a car trip. at the end of season one, and they end up having to go in two cars because too many people with too much shit comes along.
Yes.
And we were like, I was sitting here watching it and chatting with you, and I was like, how fucking far are they going, right? Because they're like loading up all of this stuff and planning for it. Like they're going across America, like 3,000 miles from one side to the other and then back again. And, you know, journey of a lifetime or whatever. And they say in the episode, they're obviously in Derry, and they say where they're going to. And so I Googled it on Google Maps. It's 80 fucking minutes. It's an 80 minute drive.
Yeah, it's like not even 2 hours. It's just so fucking
It's not
short.
Even 2 hours. Yeah. Like there is no excuse for that car stopping at all. It should not stop. And so they get in the car, and then of course, like every ill-fated road trip I've ever been on personally, you spend more time just trying to get out of fucking town.
Right.
Then you do driving on the road the first day. So they take forever to get out of town. There are parades and demonstrations of people politically against each other and like all sorts of shit happening, and they can't move through the crowd and they get stuck in traffic, and then they're out on the road and then they get stopped at all these checkpoints, and like just getting anywhere from one spot to another is like incredibly painful. And they end up having to stop for lunch somewhere.
Yes. Which is right. Like, yes. I know.
You should have only like, oh my God, you should have been there by now. Like I can't tell you how many times that's happened where like I get in the car with somebody and I'm like, thank God we're finally on the fucking road, and somebody's like, when are we stopping for dinner? And I'm like, we're not. We're gonna so you shut up.
We're gonna be there in like 3 hours. Like we're not
right,
stopping.
Calm your fucking shit down.
Right.
Like if you knew it was gonna be a problem, you should have brought a sandwich.
Exactly.
Now pee in this jug because we're not stopping unless we have to fuel up.
Right.
Anyway, I thought that that episode was like really spot on. And I think it was the season one finale.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was. And the fucking like random like hitchhiker in the trunk.
Yes. I wasn't going to mention it, but there's that is like a very delightful.
I feel
aspect.
Like that doesn't give away anything because.
No, it really doesn't.
You have to watch it to really get like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's just fucking ridiculous.
It's really good.
Yeah.
If you've ever been on a difficult road trip, that episode itself is just worth it.
Yep.
I mean, the whole watch everything up to that point. But
right.
There's also one with like a house party that all the kids go to. And I thought that was pretty classic.
Yeah.
They're all like, ooh, I'm going to drink some beer and make out with somebody.
Yes. Like,
oh, God. It's great. So good. So yeah, I'll have to like speed watch the next two seasons. I was like, oh my God, if I don't like plow through the whole season one, I'm just not going to finish it. So I just barreled through it. And then I had to do a bunch of homework after that. And so I'll probably end up doing the same thing again where I like put it on and like put it at 1.25 speed and just like plow through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was another thing that we talked about that was potentially a funny topic, and it was Know Your Neds.
Oh yes, Know Your Neds.
Very amusing.
There's a website called hold on, let me there's a website called Ranker, and there's a list of famous people named Ned. Now this isn't that well vetted, right? Like, it's not. I don't fucking
this is
know.
Not authoritative or canon.
Like, I don't know is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how authoritative this is. But there are some famous people on this list, and I thought it would be a funny episode to go through some of them. Because there's, like, there's on the list, there are 41.
41 like, Neds?
41 Neds. So whoa. Some that you would know. So Ned Beatty is an actor, an American actor. So people might know him. And Ned Beatty is like, he was born in 1937. So I don't know that he's still alive. Let's see if I can find out information there.
He would be old, but not like crazy old.
Yeah. Yeah, so no, he died in 2021 at age 83. So for sure some movies that would maybe stand out would be like I think he's often, so I think in that movie Shooter with Matt Damon, is that right?
I don't know that.
Yeah, so the movie Shooter in 2007 is sort of an action film, and he plays one of the like sort of slimy politicians, who, yeah, like, but he's also, let's see, so maybe more contemporary stuff. Let's see. So he was in Toy Story 3.
Huh.
He was in some TV shows. He was on Law and Order as a judge one time.
Judge Beatty.
Yeah. I don't know.
What other Neds are on your list?
Yeah. Right. Moving on. So then there's, let's see, an older actor named Ned Bellamy, or maybe not older.
Bellamy Salami.
Yeah. I don't know. He looks like he was more active in the early, like, the late 90s, early 2000s.
Hmm.
Ned McGowan, American composer and flautist, based in Amsterdam. Ned Van Zandt, also a film actor, not much about that. Ned Dowd, 1950 Boston, is an American film producer. I'm looking to see.
Where are you on this list, sir?
Well, okay, so number nine, Ned Kelly. That's probably something people have heard of. The Australian bushranger outlaw, who kind of famously wore like bulletproof metal armor at his last stand,
what?
I believe.
I don't know anything about this person.
Oh, yeah. Ned Kelly's super famous.
Okay.
It's
really dumb that you don't know who he is.
No. Ned Kelly was...
Bush Ranger. Look at his hair. He looks like a hipster who just opened his own distillery.
Yep. Yeah. He was born
December
of 1854. In Australia, died at the age of 25 in 1880.
He was executed by hanging.
Yeah. So he had a gang, basically, and some like network of sympathizers, and he evaded police for 2 years. They had a crime spree, including raids on a couple cities or villages, Euroa and Gerardia. Rural town, South Wales, killed some people. He denounced the police, the Victorian government and the British Empire. So like, you know, he was an outlaw, but he was like, you know, rebelling against the fucking authorities, right? It wasn't like he was just out fucking murdering people.
Yeah. And here's like, the wiki entry says the Kellys were a poor selector family who saw themselves as downtrodden by the squatocracy and as victims of persecution by the Victoria police. What is a squatocracy? Squatting, Australia, redirects here. In the history of Australia, squatting was the act of extrajudicially occupying tracts of crown land, typically to grave livestock. Though most squatters initially held no legal rights to the land they occupied, the majority were gradually recognized by successive colonial authorities as legitimate owners of the land due to being among the first and often only white settlers in their area. This term squatocracy, a play on aristocracy, was coined to refer to the squatters as a social class and the immense socio-political power they possessed. Interesting that, like, it should probably be said that, like, squatters were squatting on land that belonged to the crown who stole it from the First Nations peoples who were there forever.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Ned fucking Kelly.
And so they had in 1879, this always stuck out. This is how I learned about Ned Kelly, I think. When I was like a kid and I was playing Dungeons and Dragons, I was really into armor. And so I had read a lot about it. And the Kelly gang devised a plan to create bulletproof armor and wear it during shootouts with the police. And they had their own armor suits and helmets crafted from plow mold boards, which are like... the iron, like old school, like horse-drawn plows that had that, like, the metal sides that kind of made a V that kind of pushed into the dirt to plow the dirt. So they were using this, like, really thick steel. And you can, if you go to the Wikipedia article titled Armor of the Kelly Gang, there is a photo of it on display, and it's got fucking bullet holes and ricochets and shit in there, like dents in it. It's fucking nuts. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it. It's very rudimentary.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's just amazing. big old fucking metal plates hanging over important body parts.
Oh my God. If you got smacked by a bullet wearing that armor, it would like knock you off your feet.
Yep. Oh yeah. No, it's, you know, but they like, you know, they were having full on shootouts with the police, right? Like this was like, they talk about outlaw, but it was like, this was a fucking war going on, right? Like a dispute between, anyway.
Wow. That's amazing. They look kind of remind me of like, what am I thinking of? Monty Python and the Search for the Holy Grail.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Is it the knight who gets his arms and legs chopped off that I'm
thinking of? Black Knight.
Yes, the Black Knight. Yep. That's totally what it reminds me of. Yep. Wow. Google it. It's very cool looking. Kelly Gang armor.
Yep.
And what other Neds?
These
are the Neds I know.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's some more that I've heard of. Like, so there's quite a few that are various actors, writers, and film-related people, which is probably how most people end up getting on lists like this, like, you know, public figures.
Yeah,
Let's see. I'm trying to see if there's anybody modern that I would recognize. Nope.
Would you rather be famous or infamous?
Neither one, right? Like,
yeah.
If I had to choose, to be honest, like, from my point of view, what matters is like why.
Sure.
Like, you know, if I were infamous, but for instance, like Ned Kelly, like was, you know, on the right side of history potentially, but was infamous at the time.
Yeah, totally. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So like, that's where it's kind of, kind of tricky for me. Like, I don't know.
I would rather be infamous for something righteous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like famous for like how famous or how infamous, right? Like that's it too. Right. Like whichever one I can have the least amount of, that's probably what I would choose. Because like the biggest thing is like whether you're famous or infamous, the upshot is like your day to day may suck because you're limited in terms of your public ability, like your ability to go into the public.
Yeah.
You know, and the more famous you are, the harder that becomes. Like, you know, also, I presume some assumptions about this question. So one of them is would be that you become famous or you become infamous, but you don't have any wealth that comes from that. You have to then decide, like one could argue it's like, okay, like I would become famous tomorrow and then I would leverage that into wealth somehow, or I would become infamous tomorrow and then I would leverage that into wealth somehow. Like it's sort of, you know, like like infamous could be interesting if like you're, if ultimately it's like an extreme amount of either one, right? Mm-hmm. Like high levels of it, like to the point where it's like you can't be much more famous or much more infamous, like, you know, like in which case I would say probably famous. It depends. Like, let's put some limits on the infamous, which is to say you are morally condemned, but you're not legally condemned somehow. Right. You're not on the run. You're not like
lambing.
Yeah. You're not on the lam. Like this is something that's just publicly known about you. Right. Like you, I don't know. Like you fucking like left your third wife with cancer or something. I don't know. Like, I, you know, what, like some, You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of like, it's like, it's not illegal, but holy shit, you're
like
infamous for this.
Like fucking Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, yeah. Or fucking, I think Trump did that too, right? Like, this is not a fucking, like, well, Newt Gingrich for sure. I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Yeah. My point being is that, like, presume, I'm going to put some boundaries on, or some limits on this, right? So I would say, like, whether it's infamy or femi. Infamy or Femi? what's the opposite of infamy? Famous, but
fame.
Right. Yeah. Whether it's infamy or fame.
Yeah.
Those things are largely settled at the point that you've made this choice. So like,
uh-huh.
The only thing that remains is the public knowledge about it, but not any kind of like pending doom or action that's going to happen towards you.
Mm-hmm.
Like those things happened, whatever it was. You were either famous for saving somebody or infamous for causing the death of somebody, but not liable, right? Like the public condemns you for it, but you're not liable. Like you're not the one who actually drowned those children. You just failed to save them or whatever the fuck it is, right? Like something like that.
That sounds like Don Samuels.
Yeah. So given that, I don't know that it really matters. Like there's a pathway where you could leverage that for some kind of wealth, which would be to write, you know, to go communicate about your experience, right? Because people are interested and then they pay you for that in some way. And whether it's infamous or famous is kind of, you know, like I could see working with either one. If it was infamous, you might have the apology tour, right? Like it's like, come pay me to tell you how fucked up it was and watch me condemn myself. Like, I don't know. It's just kind of like, they both sound terrible to my mind. Like it just doesn't, you know, like now if you want to get money into it where you're like, how much money could I pay you to be famous, right? Or to be infamous? Oof. Like, what's your price? Like, you know, peak infamy or peak fame, and how much money would make that acceptable?
Oh, God. I kind of feel like the more money associated with it, the worse it gets.
Yeah, right? It doesn't. Yeah, it's like, so maybe there's some fucking sweet spot where it's, you know, more like you got to, like you get a certain amount of money that's comfortable, but not so much money that it just adds to the problems.
Yeah.
Like you're like, okay, I got retirement levels, like $2 or $3 million, like just enough to kind of, you know, really live pretty high on the hog in America without reaching the upper echelons of like, you know, the ultra rich, right? Like, like it's enough that you could own a house somewhere and never have to work again.
Yeah.
But not so much money that you're just like, people are like, oh, fucking Mr. Alter Moneybags over there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Its own question. Like, what number is that in the U.S.?
That's what I was just going to say. The dollar amount is hard to nail down.
Yeah. I mean, I just imagined, like, $1 million doesn't go that far these days.
No.
I think if you have it free and clear of taxes, it's a huge amount of money. It's probably more money than many of us will
in
make
like
in
a lump
lifetime.
Sum, sure.
Yeah. But like, you know, it's depending on where you live, half of it could go towards owning a house right away. And then that house is, you owe taxes on that house. So it's not like now that you own the house that like then that
it doesn't go away.
Yeah. So like $1 million could probably set you up with a house that you own or a property that you own and cover the fees and cost of owning that house through its lifetime, or through your lifetime potentially, if you bought a pretty cheap house. So if you bought something in the $150,000 to $200,000 range, live somewhere where the cost of living is commensurate with that, and you know, basically set aside enough money, you could probably keep, you know, maintain the upkeep of that house through the rest of your life. But
probably,
you know, $1 million, man, it could start to get tight at the end, you know?
Yes. Yes. It's so, everything's so fucking expensive. Have you noticed that everything costs $300 now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's like, you want a hamburger? Fucking $300. Gallon of milk? $300. No, right. I'm only half joking. Like, yeah. No, you're right. It is, it's pretty nuts. Like I was reading about how the cost of like the McDonald's dollar menu is no longer the dollar menu, and it's just kind of nonsense. And like everything's just fucking exploded.
Yeah, we're in a little situation here.
Yeah, you don't say.
Well, I think you mentioned that we had a new ending segment.
Yes. Although I don't know. I don't know if I have anything like locked and loaded for it. So the new segment I thought would be bad sex advice.
And oh, like God.
The only thing that comes to mind immediately is just like making sure you set your expectations like sky high.
Right.
That for sure. Really
sky high, and don't discuss it at all. Like just hold on to those expectations and share them with no one.
Right. Yes, that for sure.
Don't talk about it.
Yeah, don't communicate in any real way.
Right. Only have sex with the lights off.
Or like only have sex with the lights off. Yes. don't communicate any boundaries you have, and then also don't in any way enforce those boundaries, and like I don't know. There's other
hot make sure you incorporate a lot of uncomfortable textures into
yeah. Make sure you say like choose a very uncomfortable situation for sure. Yep. add elements of like add non sequitur elements, like for sure, like have too many pets maybe in the room.
Yep.
Let's see, what else could you do?
Maybe an awkward bowl of fruit nearby.
Yep. Definitely don't listen to anything your partner says. That's
oh yeah,
not
ignore help. Them.
Yeah, ignore them. They don't know what they don't know what you.
They're
like.
Just a prop.
They're just a prop.
For fine. Your enjoyment.
For your enjoyment, yeah.
Surreptitiously record the whole thing every
yes,
time.
Every time. Also, don't be or really like indulge in your negative feelings afterwards.
Oh, that one's super funny.
Right.
I mean, great, great advice.
Good advice.
Solid. Excellent.
Solid.
Excellent advice. I think jarring music.
Oh yes, yeah, definitely jarring music. Like choose the music that you like the best.
Mm-hmm.
Without any consideration for your partner. Play it a little too loud. Yep. Actually, the yes. louder the better, so that you don't have to like there's no way to talk or have any kind
yeah.
of like
oh yeah. yeah. I mean, loud enough that your neighbors maybe even call for a wellness check.
Yeah. You could also indulge in like confirmational bias. So really set your expectations about what you think they want, and then only listen to signals that they give that confirm that.
Ah, oh, great.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I mean, that's just generally good relationship advice.
Yeah, I think.
Or
I
bad
think it's really I think it's really important to have a collection of dental dams and write people's names on them so you know who's belongs to whose.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And absolutely. I mean, they're so versatile. Yes. You can use them for all sorts of things.
All sorts of things. Yeah.
All the time.
You know, I think you can wash them in the dishwasher, and you could probably just keep them in a kitchen cabinet someplace yeah. like next to the drinking glasses, anywhere. You know, or just mm-hmm. hang them on the wall with their names, like on the
yes,
you know, with the
like stockings at Christmas.
Like stockings at Christmas, yes.
I also was thinking about how it's really important to wear 3 condoms at a time so that they strangle the penis and no ejaculate can come out at all because it's choked off.
It's choked off. They don't call it choking the chicken for nothing, if you know what I mean.
Right. That's where that comes from.
That's where that comes from.
Yeah. And I think anytime that you can insinuate money into the situation, that's always good idea.
Yeah. But not predetermined. And
it's got to be a surprise.
Got to be a surprise. Yeah.
That's where the like spark and the spontaneity comes
yes,
from. You
that's
know?
It. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think definitely push yourself. If you feel like it's not a good time or you're not ready, just ignore that. That is the weak part of you speaking.
Right.
Push through.
Just
come
push
out
through.
The other side. Yeah.
Indeed.
Push through the discomfort.
That's right.
I think this is all really good advice.
Yeah. I guess actually maybe it'd be good to ask if any of our listeners have advice they want to add. You could write Dana, Dana at fcbm.io, and you know, let her know your thoughts. We'll share them on the podcast if you so want. Obviously, we won't do that without your express permission. But
sign it anonymous.
Just sign it anonymous.
If you don't want to tell us who you are, or you don't want us to say,
yeah,
or you can tell
or
us.
Just
don't
say,
hey, who
I
am.
Know. Yeah, just don't say who I am. Whatever.
Just read this for me, but don't say anything about me.
Yeah, lots of options there.
We will follow your instructions.
Indeed.
In the email to Dana.
To Dana, yes. I think that's good. I mean, I'm sure there's millions of more.
Watch Dairy Girls.
Yeah, watch Dairy Girls. That was
it was kind of funny because like when you first started telling me about Dairy Girls, I can't remember if I like... You must have told me over text because that's the main way that we communicate.
Yep.
And I can't remember when you said Dairy Girls. I was like, not. It didn't dawn on me that you were talking about Ireland.
Right.
I was like, what the fuck is a Dairy Girl?
What the fuck is a Dairy Girl?
Oh, now I see.
Yeah.
It's a good show. It's cute. It's charming. It's sweet. It's relatable.
Yeah.
It's available on the interwebs. You should watch it.
Yeah, definitely.
And tell us what you think. All right. Well,
that's that.
I guess that's that.
Okay. Thanks for
listening. All right. Thank you. Okay.